thought leader and influencer. This is Luba Mayegiso and the Africa Report.
Luba Mayegiso, the thirst is with you doesn't come quickly enough. How are you?
Very well, Howard. Very good, thank you. I'm waiting for my invitation to come and spend Shabbos with you.
Well, I'm coming down to Cape Town, so I'm going to come and spend it with you.
This Friday.
Today, after the show, I'm coming down to Cape Town. Are you going to be at Shimmy Beach tonight?
I've already committed to the Chabad guys, but you know what? I was too quick to accept because my daughter tells me soldiers are having a gin and sushi Chabad to attract students.
Well, I'm going to be in Claremont. I'm hoping as the speaker, so I'm hoping I'll attract some students. No, I can't compete with the gin and sushi. Yeah, you know, I'm going to find out what's on their menu,
Luba. I don't know if you've been listening this week, but Howard, I think unanimously has been voted the sexiest man in Glenhazel.
Well, first of all, it was only Zanati that said so. It wasn't unanimous. And
I said unanimous. Maybe I should have said unanimous in the studio.
In the studio. All right. So then.
Oh, okay.
So he is going to attract a lot of students.
Well, good luck, Howard. Good luck. But interestingly, I was listening to your chat before, you brought me on air. About Concerta and Ritalin. It's interesting. I find here in Cape Town in private schools, it's almost like a breakfast cereal. You know, you find it's just so prescribed in the schools. It's worrying. I know when our daughter was asked to take it, you know, I kicked and fought for 2 years and absolutely refused to even hear of it.
Yeah, look, people have, Ivana also saying it's a Schedule 5 or 6 drug, crazy what we're doing to our kids. Mm. One of my children had a severe reaction, the other not, but certainly both personalities were significantly altered. I think narcolepsy is a better indication for prescribing it. Mm. Yep, it is a hot topic. And, someone unsigned says parents who deny the need for medication need therapy, but they probably don't believe in that either. So it is very, that's what I'm saying. It's so emotional. And I get it.
Absolutely.
I absolutely get it.
I think for me, the thing is that, you know, I think it's about not being anti-psychiatry. It's being pro-responsible psychiatry. And I think for me, that's the important thing, is that we do see this. I mean, when you think about Ritalin, and I'm very much aware that children are at school now, hopefully, you know, that in high school, we do see young ladies and young boys, taking Ritalin or being sold Ritalin because... For two reasons, you lose weight because of your appetite suppressed.
Well, it's never worked on me. It's the one side effect that I don't get from Concerta. It's a cruel almost.
Yeah, Howard.
It's cruel.
Well, Howard, you know, the thing for me is, I mean, as I was saying, I fought against it for literally 2 years and then eventually gave in. After, you know, the school ganged on me, I think they had about 4 teachers or something. So eventually I thought, well, you know, let me give it a try. I must confess though, it has been a revelation with our daughter. And I'm not quite sure. The trouble for me was she changed grades and she didn't really like the teacher in that particular grade and she blossomed. So it's hard for me to put it down to that, but I can certainly see that, made a huge difference. I mean, she's doing incredibly well. What does worry me though is that if she runs out, then she kind of panics and, you know, and then I'm like, you'll be fine. And that dependency sometimes, but she does exceptionally well. Has she lost weight? Oof. Oh, this one was always, a skinny Malink who was thin. So, but she's one of those who just eats around the clock. And what I had to work with her was to say, you need to eat something in the morning because she'll take a drumstick and one broccoli. And that's her meal. And then an hour later, she's hungry. Another hour later, she's hungry. So, you know, she's just been that kind of eater who just eats around the clock. 11 o'clock, she raids the fridge. There's never a big plate. It's always tiny portions. But I must say, contrary to my views and my thoughts, I had to concede in that regard that I was wrong. And it seems to have helped tremendously.
It's very, very interesting that how important it is to people, and I also can tell you from our own experience, our own children.
Yeah.
You know, some of them had reacted very, very badly.
But Luba makes an important point. I think for me, any child or adolescent who's taking medication, I think it needs to be explained to them very, very clearly that they don't just take medication and then play no part in whether it's fighting their anxiety, dealing with their depression, or even concentrating, that, you know, if they are going to be taking medication, it's one kind of spoke in the wheel, and that it's not just about taking the medication and
you
everything
have to
will
do
be fine.
The work.
You have to do the work.
Absolutely.
It's something that will help. It's an addition. but you certainly cannot give up responsibility for dealing with one situation as well. So again, very important not to give them the, as Luba was saying, the message that, well, if you don't have it, then well, you just can't fight it, you can't do it, you don't have any kind of responsibility
and David, doesn't it change? You know, I went through school, I must have been suffering from the same thing, but I managed. I did reasonably. I went on to university, I did well at university, got an LLB, built and, you know, grew a business without any form of medication. But then, because of trauma later on in life, it was triggered and I simply couldn't control it. I couldn't manage the systems that I put in place. So it does change, doesn't it?
It does throughout
your life.
It does, and I think for me, often with maturity, whether it's anxiety, one starts to understand oneself more, starts to deal with things in a way which works for oneself, picks up ways of dealing things and coping. And same even with attention deficit, is that as people mature, you know, some people go, okay, I can only sit for half an hour and then I need to walk around for 15 minutes.
You manage your systems.
Yeah, absolutely. Or I need to stand up and work, or I need to allow myself to walk around. So, which again, in the education system, you're often not allowed to do. So again, that's the whole controversy.
You see, David, what it requires is that I think as a parent, you have to be attentive, because for us to understand the need for it was our child was getting not so good grades, but because we had an extra maths teacher, she would say, you know what, I sit and do work with this child and she does exceptionally well, so why is she struggling in school? So we then realized that she'd get to a test or exam situation and she would panic and not think clearly. She knew the answers and she would just literally dump everything she knew on the paper without looking at it. So we're then able to see that somehow this child was getting extremely anxious when she sat down for a test or an exam. And that's what then it helped. But it helped to know that there was, you know, the extra maths teacher was saying, she knows this stuff. We sit and we do it here at home and she goes through it and she does exceptionally well. So we're able to compare and say, it's not that this child genuinely doesn't understand maths, but she does. She understands the concepts. She can do the answers. But there's something in that school environment, in the test environment, that just rattles her. So I think for me, you've got to be, as a parent, fairly close to the kid to make decisions. Otherwise, you're just sitting back and you're listening to somebody saying the child needs this or that. So it does need a great deal of involvement.
I absolutely agree. Absolutely agree.
And it's always a concern for me that in some school environments a kid might need it, but for example, if they go to a remedial school like a Bella Vista, often less medication or no medication in terms of attention deficit is required, and that's a worry, because that speaks to our education system and not to the child. Surely
it does, and I think for me that is I think, you know, one of the listeners alluded to that our education system is stuck. Really, I mean. Yes, we do have the, you know, we do have the walled off kind of schooling system, and we also have the Ariels and the Bella Vistas, you know, now, well, I suppose Bella Vista's been around for a while, but they really are becoming extraordinary schools, and is a different option to the usual education system. But it's the exception rather than the rule. And that is the upset, is that we really do need some brave educators and some brave parents to make the change and understand that if a child is not, you know, sitting and learning things and getting, you know, I suppose putting things to memory, that means that they are not going to be successful when they leave school, or if they're not good at maths, then you know, they're not going to be successful.
David, but remember this denial. I mean, I think for my part, as a parent, you like to think that you've turned out the perfect kid. So part of getting the help needs you to first admit that your child does need help. But part of you says, no, not my child. My child is perfect. You know, they're gifted, they'll be good at this and that. So you struggle. You know, it's almost, it's crazy enough. I think you see it almost as either a failing on your part, or how could nobody could have given this kid genes that are like this. So I think for me, part of that battle is internal within yourself. Never mind the child. It's just you getting to a place where you accept that, you know, this is the condition of this child. And I think for me, that was the most difficult part, not what the medication was going to do for her, but my accepting that you know, my child needed help in this particular area. That was a struggle.
A very interesting SMS. Thank you, unsigned. Often I hear this. Parents often say this in conversation. How can my child be ADD but spend hours focused on playing a single game? Right. David, can you talk to that?
Yeah, please? Absolutely. And I think, you know, again, it's so important to understand that when a child is watching TV or, you know, on an iPad or on an iPhone, that is a different type of concentration. It uses a completely different part of the brain. And again, concentration or could even say, listen, one-on-one, my child is absolutely brilliant, with concentration, or they're able to play at home. But remember that when one goes into a schooling environment, there are so many distractions, and it's a completely different ball game. And it does then take a higher level and a different type of attention compared to watching a screen, to really concentrate on the kind of work that is presented in the education system.
So what you're saying, and it's very, very important, is a kid can still play, be able to focus on playing a game, and still have ADD. It doesn't mean that they are not suffering from ADD.
And it probably just, you know, again, there's two, I think we need to differentiate two things. One is screens, because as I said, screens, but attention on screens
but, is... But what, I get that. So that's right. Completely separate. So don't use that as an indication.
So just say playing Lego. Yeah. Absolutely. When you think about it, playing Lego, and again, often would be a quieter environment, an environment where there's not a lot of distractions, which is unfortunately not what the school environment is about. There is so much happening when one is in the classroom, people walking by, noise, you know, other people talking. So again, it's a different level of concentration. So I think, it's very important that it is, as we've been saying, the whole show is to have proper evaluation.
Time is 8:48. We're going to go to ads. When we come back, we're going to be talking to Luba about the cancel culture. We're going to be talking about the EFF standing up in Parliament and saying that the Springboks must fall. How do we deal with that, and what is the best approach to it? Luba Mayakiso, so here's the question, is how do we look at symbols of the past that could have been offensive back then? And of course I'm referring to the EFF's approach to the Springbok symbol, saying the bokke must fall.
Howard, it's a difficult one, but I think there was genuine chorus against the Springbok emblem in the early 90s and going up towards democracy. And I think we have to concede that, you know, we changed the Springboks to the Proteas in terms of the cricket team, but in the rugby, that was left behind. To me, it's a bit crazy now to come around 25 years later and say, you know, that logo must go, the name must go. We've left it there. We you know, whatever issues we had with it, we must make peace with it. And I don't think it's fair, you know, to attack it now. We didn't like it. We should have really made a fuss during the Mandela era and got it changed. But we've lived through it for you know, decades and a half.
So is it, for me, is it just posturing? Is it just politics then?
I think it's posturing. Look, remember we had a discussion about this. There is obviously some concern about the transformation in the Springbok team, in the sense that there are those who say that government had put a 50% quota. We didn't reach that quota. So yes, there are issues that still need to be addressed. But I think opening up a debate now about the name, it's far too late. We should have had that in 94, 90, somewhere there, and dealt with it then. We didn't. And I think it's pointless now I honestly think so. And I mean, it comes back to your article as well, in some ways, of counterculture, that it's not always helpful to go back in history and try and dissect issues. Yes, I know I didn't like the Springbok, kind of naming things, because if you went back in history, it was very politicized. So there was certainly a lot of baggage with it. But the question is, you can transform something. I mean, a debate that had been going off in parallel was around December 16th, you know, the day of the vow versus reconciliation. You can change some emblems and some dates and give them a different meaning. You know, you don't have to throw everything out. You can almost refashion something and own it. Some you need to throw out, but some you know, you can. You can, I think, transform in the fall. And I think you should do so. You can't throw everything out. And otherwise, we'd literally have to sit and change every street name. Yes, there were those that were offensive. But do I now say all the streets must be changed to indigenous names? Heaven forbid, no.
And even our language. I mean, we're having this conversation in English. You know, if you decide that everything in the past that represented anything Eurocentric is problematic, well, then it's a very, very slippery slope.
It is, and hence I'm saying you can take something and you can own it. You know, I'm not trying to defend, you know, the Zilla tweets.
No,
but,
absolutely.
But I think
it was a stupid tweet, she was raising a debate in some way that we need to have.
But I don't think the EFF will gain much traction in this, at all. And I think sometimes it's good to just, ignore people, almost like the counterculture. We should allow people space to make whatever noise they can. But if we focus too much on that noise, we then heighten the importance of it. And I think that in South Africa today, the EFF will not get traction with that song that they're shouting. Mm. But if we focus on it too much, it becomes topical. You know, let's let it die, and I think they'll do that maybe one or two sitting in Parliament and they have to move on.
Yeah, absolutely. Zanati, your thoughts on this?
Do you know what the thing is the EFF is, I was saying that I wasn't against them in the beginning. I liked them at some point.
Who? Oh, the EFF. The EFF. Yes.
But now I'm just like, they've been doing too much. Like, they can see the mood of the country that everybody just wants to unite. And they literally have shown that they are divisive. And someone was actually saying that, you know what? Their salaries come from the fact that they are divisive. So they're never going to change.
It's interesting. So I wonder if, how much damage they've done to their own cause. I don't think that this was a strategy. I'm convinced that just because of that original tweet, their spokesperson made about, saying, congratulations to, Siya Kolisi and the rest of the team can get their congratulations from Prince Harry. I think that, it took them down a path that I'm not really sure that they intended to go down. I think that they've got themselves into a bit of trouble there, because that's the journey that they took. They've doubled down on it, and they can't get out of it.
And the funny thing was, I mean, Prince Harry, I saw visuals of him before the match, you know, speaking to our captain, and then afterwards congratulating. So it's almost sad that the person they're saying go and get a congratulation from was quite magnanimous in defeat.
Absolutely.
And I think we need to move on and just let them make the noise, Howard. Let's not focus on it. And I think the mood in the country, I mean, I've seen lots of visuals. I'm not the one that goes out on the streets, but the average South African is out there in the streets. Whether we agree with them entirely or not, let's let the nation enjoy that. And opening the debate, to me, the important thing is, how do we get more kids to play sport? How do we get more facilities into
Absolutely
the townships and
right
schools where more kids can come through? Not the name or the Springboks.
Well, isn't that interesting? Because of the style of the EFF, we aren't having those conversations. Instead, we're having conversations about race and not actually and theoretical, divisive conversations, rather than saying, right, what a fantastic momentum has been built. Let's capitalize on it and let's make sure that the kids who actually need to have access to decent facilities are given them. It is 8:57, Lubomayakisa. So thank you as always. I do need to leave it there. We'll be back to say goodbye just after.